Morning.
Today I'll be introducing Al Perez. He's the administrator of the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. He has been working with DVR for over 30 years, and he has dedicated his time to help individuals, students. To give his time and
microphone.
Over 30 years, and then prior to his current position as administrator, he was the branch administrator of Cavale. Please welcome Al Perez. Thank you.
Don't worry about it.
I'm sorry. Good job.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It was so long ago, I forgot what I did too. Aloha kakou, everyone.
Aloha.
Mahalo to AKB, Philo, Warren for allowing Leah and I to talk story with you guys about what's going on in VR. I know on the agenda, the program, it talked about good news from the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. But with Philo's opening remarks, I don't know what better news that I can share with you all. The biggest movement right now in terms of not just Hawaii VR, but VR agencies throughout the United States and the territories, is the submittal of either the unified state plan or the combined state plan as a requirement of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. Back in 1998, the Rehabilitation Act, which is really the governing body, the support, the law for VR programs throughout the nation, got folded into our country's Workforce Act. Likewise, when President Obama signed into law WIOA, the Rehabilitation Act was folded into that. And VR, along with our core partners from the Department of Education, Department of Labor and Industrial Relations, have been busy working on what we hope to be an acceptable unified state plan that by law we need to get out by April 1st. So right now it is out on website for public view and discussion. We hope to submit that to the governor in about a week or so, and we'll see what happens. We think we have a pretty good plan in mind. In comparison, and we've been going through other websites to check out the other states, and we think we're doing a kind of bang-up job. With the Innovation Act comes challenges, and like Leah said, there's a whole bunch of changes. It really requires us to enter into what we look at as new relationships. Hawaii being the aloha state, we've always had relationships with other entities from Workforce Development Division, Department of Education, Department of Health. However, it requires us to go even deeper and to braid funding. So although under the Opportunity Act we're not getting any new monies, what they're asking us to do is to work things out with other entities to share monies. So we're busy going to be doing that. We are looking at developing a number of memorandums of agreement with the various agencies. When did I do this? This is what, March? Yeah. During the legislative session, things get really meshed up, so time goes into a warp. Yeah. So sometimes I forget what month this is, but last month I shared with our staff my intent on retiring. Either sometime at the end of this year, possibly next June, possibly next September. What's holding me back from moving forward with my retirement is my bucket list, on which I have a number of items, one of which are the various memorandums of agreement that I need to move forward with, specifically with the Department of Education and the Department of Health. And those are things that we've been working on for a number of years. So I'm hopeful, though, that with the Opportunity Act, it'll push us closer together. The other thing we need to do is to reorganize. Ho'opono has been on our reorganization radar for quite some time. And we think that there's a lot of possibilities for those kinds of changes to happen there as well. But under WIOA, the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, states are now required to set aside 15% of our budget. The federal government is not giving me extra money, but they're saying, Hawaii, you need to set aside 15% of your budget specifically for transition age youth. So in Hawaii, that's our students under the umbrella of the Department of Education, ages 14 through 22. And that roughly, at least for this year, comes out to about $1.9 million. So we're busy doing a lot of those contracts. Earlier, Ms. Townsend talked about the process in developing those kinds of contracts. It does take a long time, but the federal government didn't really give us much time. So this summer, one of the things we're doing is our Summer Youth Employment Program, contracts that we've set up with the Department of Labor and the counties, City and County of Honolulu, City and County of Kauai. So that way, at least within the VR community, 300 of our youth with disabilities will be able to enter into employment this summer, earning $10 an hour. So really, it's an investment in our young people, and we're looking to try and see how we can braid our fundings with Department of Health, with Department of Ed, and the Department of Labor, private nonprofits, so that way we can roll out different programs. The Opportunity Act also requires us to partner with employers. Now, for the most part, we've had a working relationship with employers going back many, many years. But they're requiring us to go even deeper, and we need to measure our outcomes. Like Leah mentioned earlier, the federal rates aren't going to be coming out until July 1st, which makes it a challenge as we need to submit our plan by April 1st. So it's hard to try and figure out what we're going to do. There's certain things we know, it's black and white, it's the letter of the law. But if you understand how things roll out, when Congress passes a law, then the federal government develops these regulations, which then rolls out to the states. The states develop what's called the Hawaii Revised Statutes, which is state law, which then requires the various departments to come up with the Hawaii Administrative Rules, which then the divisions like VR comes up with policies and procedures. And it's hard to do those kinds of things when the rates have yet to come out. And we've been receiving very little guidance from the federal government in regards to what's going to be happening with the rates. One thing we're sure of, as Leah mentioned earlier, that will no longer be able to support homemaker closures. But how that rolls out, we're not really sure. We do know that there was much testimony and concern regarding that specific addition to the act. So we're not sure how that's going to roll out in the regulations. Are they going to give us more time to initiate that specific change? Looking here on the home front and the current legislature, earlier this week there was a House Finance Committee meeting. Vocational rehab, we are the baby of the Department of Human Services. We are the smallest division. Our budget request is fairly small. The most important, though, is the financial requests that we're asking for our older individuals who are blind program. Like Leah said earlier, we're not really getting any increases from the federal government, which means two things. We either need to get state money or other money. And for the most part, we've been using our Social Security reimbursements. And that's the income that we earn, like Leah said. I do want to make a little change, though. It's not just blind rehabilitants, yeah? So it's all our money that we get under the Social Security reimbursement that we're turning over to OIB. This year so far, we've submitted applications to Social Security Administration of about $200,000. So if that's approved, that's an additional $200,000 that we'll be putting into OIB. You're welcome, Leah. You're welcome. So as we roll out the new year, it's going to be a challenge. It's a challenge for us to see how we're going to get along. Yeah. When we come here to the convention, I can feel the aloha. Which is something that I don't always feel when I go to the State Council of Blind Men, I mean State Committee of Blind Menders. I don't always feel the aloha there. But it's good to come to meetings like this because there is a lot of warmth and aloha here. But our people are doing good work. For the most part, I really, really don't have to worry too much about what's going on in Bachelor Street. You are in good hands. Counseling section under the leadership of Fiona McNeil, I don't worry about that. Yeah. Rehabilitations or outcomes, employment outcomes have increased. Very good. When I take a look at what's going on in the business enterprise program, yes, a lot of controversies, temperatures rising, but for the most part, we are doing fine. We are doing fine. And we do need to massage things a little bit, but we're moving along. And what's going on at New Visions with Dean, well, with the exception of Mr. Georgia and Mr. Canton, for the most part, the program is moving along fine. No worries there. So when I do visit Bachelor, I go in smiling. It's a lot more relaxed. It's a really fun place to be. And unfortunately, our administrative office moved from Bachelor to Kapi'olani, so I don't get to experience that kind of aloha too often. But know that I know it. That when it comes to services for the flying branch, I really don't worry. All these gray hairs comes from all the other parts of the division. So we're moving forward. We are looking to change. There are things on my bucket list that I need to address. Not so much with SBB, Services for the Blind. We're moving along fine. Any questions about anything? I'm too old, Donna. I'm too old. Not as old as you.
No, that's 84. I
know you're not as old. No. But Dean was mentioning earlier that I think he came over when I was a student counselor over at LCC in 79. 79. At that time, I was just 5 years old. I was in an early admittance program to Libre at the time. Yeah. But I do have a lot of love for this agency. Yeah. My wife, I told my wife two things before we got married. One, don't tell me to quit smoking. And two, don't ever tell me to change my job. And she hasn't for the most part. She is encouraging me to retire by the end of the year, but that she knows that's not going to happen. Because there is a lot of love in this place. Yeah? And sometimes we don't always do it the way that maybe our participants, our consumers, our clients would like us to do it. In government work, there are a lot of rules, as a lot of the rules don't make sense. And we have to fight them all the time. I am very fortunate that I have a pretty good boss, Director Rachel Wong. We have a very good working relationship. We don't always see eye to eye, but it's been an experience working with her this past year. And I'm looking forward to continue to work with her. Any questions?
Yes, sir. May I ask one?
Just one more.
One. I think it's going to be an easy one.
Oh, good.
For you.
Okay.
In years past, we have gone for federal reallotted money. What is the climate nowadays, let's say for this coming summer, for the amount of money nationwide available to states with matching funds in reallotted money?
It's not that easy a question. I just had a meeting yesterday with we hold monthly financial meetings within the division. And one of the things we did discuss was our reallotment money. For those of you who don't know, the federal government gives us money to the various VRA agencies. States have to match it. Generally, we call it an 80-20 match. 80% of our funding comes from the federal government, 20% match from the states. However, there are states that are unable to match, to meet the match requirements. In those cases, the dollars they are not able to draw down from the federal government goes back into a pot. States who are able to meet the match requirements for that extra money can put it in application. So that's what Warren's referring to. We call that reallotment monies. And for the past 4 or 5 years now, we've gone after reallotment money. So we've brought in millions of dollars, extra dollars, into the state through this process. But that creates a problem. And the problem is MOE. Not one of the three stooges, MOE.
You're showing your age.
I know. It's maintenance of effort. MOE, maintenance of effort, which basically is a requirement the federal government puts on states that if you're at a certain spending level, then you must maintain that spending level. If you go below it, then you do not meet what they call your MOE requirements, and you will be penalized. So, it's a good thing, yeah, it really is. So there will come a point in time, and we're tracking this, where Hawaii will meet a more penalty. Yeah. So you have to weigh it. We can get all this money now, and at some point in time, we will be penalized. But the amount of money, that extra money that we brought in under the reallotment, will far exceed the penalty. So when looking at in the big picture,
we can handle
that. We just need to track, because tracking will allow us to plan, and plan will then give us our preparedness that we'll need when that happens. We know it'll happen, so we're just tracking it when. In terms of the near future, Yes, Warren, we are going after realignment monies this summer, if it's available. There is some hint that the federal government, they're not stupid, they're just slow. So they know states are doing this, and they also know what's happened as a result, and it's happened here in Hawaii, where Hawaii VR is in very stable financial situation. And I shared this with people. Since coming on board as the administrator, I've been as transparent as I possibly can. In 2009, 2010, we went through the reduction in force. And VR, like many other agencies, was in bad fiscal shape. However, we are very stable and have been for a number of years now, to the point where currently we are in federal fiscal year 16, but I'm spending my federal fiscal 15 money. We're basically rolling over monies. The federal funds we get for the year, if you don't spend it all, you can roll it over for another year. So we're guesstimating, and that's why we have these monthly tracking meetings to see how we're doing fiscally. We're under the impression, given our current spending, that we're going to be spending 15 funds through May, maybe June of this year, in which case then we'll revert to the 16 funds, which we should have started spending last October. So we're very sound fiscally, but that causes Rehabilitation Services Administration in Washington turmoil, because they don't like it. They don't like the fact that we're keeping all this money, we're rolling it over, but there's nothing they can do about it. Really, there is nothing they can do about it. They know it. So now they're looking at possibly pulling back on their reallotment money, but that's going to be a challenge for them too. So to answer your question, Warren, if the monies are there, and we're assuming it will be, we'll probably be going after 400 to half a bill in realignment money this summer.
I was thinking of we going in with the match. We furnish the match, and you guys go ahead and apply and use our money as realignment match, and we buy the handy van, some vans.
Actually, when you were talking to Charlotte about that, that thought did enter my mind as I was sitting there. I just wish I had my budget person with me to try and figure out how the hell we do that, you know. But that thought did enter my mind. But to go after the realignment this summer, I think we're fairly comfortable with the excess, there's no one here from the legislature, right? With the excess state monies that we have. We have enough state monies. But if you wanted to go after more, that's a possibility. That's a possibility. Let me think about that some more. I do need to talk to two people when I get back to the office, my budget person and my contracts person, to see if that kind of partnership in bringing in more support for handy bags is possible. Any other questions? I don't know. The sound of jail door closing on me doesn't sound too easy.
We'll go visit you.
That's not bad. I don't find comfort in that.
Sharon will bake you a cake.
If there's no other questions, mahalo plenty again for allowing me to.